Warren at headquarters. I'm just going to first find out who on the CCAC is present to see if we have a quorum before we actually officially start. Okay, great.
And Ron's here too.
Okay, perfect. So we have everybody that we need. Oh, it's Megan on. I'm sorry. She was supposed to be here.
I am. Thank you.
Great. Okay, so I'm going to hand it over to Tom to start the meeting officially. And reminder, this is a public meeting. We do have probably people from the press and the public on the call. Thank you.
And I'll recognize them shortly. Before I call the meeting officially to order, I just wanted to give everyone especially an acknowledgement. We lost a numismatic legend in Ray Dillard over the last couple of days. I don't know if any of you knew Ray or not, but he was iconic at most of the shows. And he was quite involved with the Elongated Association and numismatics in general, especially his involvement with DNA. So he died peacefully at age 95. And I just wanted to let our members and those know before I call the meeting to order. Okay, with that, I'd like to give you an overview of today's agenda for the CCAC. Today we're going to review and have the approval of letters to the Secretary and minutes from our January 21st, 2020. We will have a review and discussion of the candidate designs for the Barbara Bush First Spouse Gold Coin and Bronze Medal. This will be followed by open discussion of the CCAC on ideas to consider for recommendations regarding the commitment coin program and other matters that the committee would like to discuss.
Tom, this is Greg. Yes. For the record, would you call the roll?
Okay, you want me to do that again?
Please.
Yes.
Okay, no problem. I'm sorry, I thought that I did it in-house because you were there, but we can do that. So please respond present. Your name is called Sam Gill.
Present.
Robert Hope.
Present.
Dr. Dean Kowalski.
Present.
Mary Lamon.
Present.
Michael Moran.
Here.
Robin Solomon.
Present.
Donald Scurvy. We'll wait for Don to catch up. Jeannie Stevens Solomon.
Present.
Dennis Tucker.
Present.
Dr. Larry Brown.
Present.
And I am Thomas Ram, the chair of the CCAC. Welcome again, and to all of our others on the phone. Are there any members of the press in attendance or on the phone? Well, I'm not in attendance. Well, it could be in attendance down there, I suppose, but regarding on the phone. That would like to please state your name.
Yes, Brandon Hall with Coin Update and Mint News Blog.
Thanks, Brandon.
Maggie Duncan, Numismatic News.
Maggie, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much, Brandon, Megan. Finally, I'd like to acknowledge the following Mint staff that are participating in those public meeting, and we'll start with April Stafford, the Chief Officer of Design Management, and program managers from that office that are in attendance, Megan Sullivan. Benita Hancock there today?
Vanessa, yes. Oh, sorry. Vanessa, okay. And yes, she is. Thank
Vanessa.
You.
Okay. Pam and Pamor?
Pam's not, but Roger is. Oh, you might be going.
You there? Okay. Joe Mudd, Mint Chief Engraver.
Sir.
Ron Herrible, Manager of Design and Engraving.
Present.
Jennifer Warren is here, liaison to the CCAC.
Present.
And our counsel to the CCAC, Greg Wyman.
I'm here, present.
Okay, I'd like to begin with the minutes. Are there any other issues that need to be addressed at this point? Okay, then the first item on our agenda is to review and the approval of the minutes of the Secretary's letters from our last meeting. Any comments on the documents? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes and the letters? Please state your name when you're making any motions, please.
Mary
Lynn,
and I
approve
the letters.
And minutes.
And minutes.
Okay, do I hear a second?
Hi, Ron. Second.
We're in second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any negatives? Motion carries without objection. We now turn to the business of the committee, and April Stafford, the Chief of the Municipal Office of Design and Management, will present the candidate designs for the Barbara Bush First Spouse Gold Coin and Bronze Medal. April?
Thank you. It is Public Law 116-112 that authorizes the Secretary of the Treasury to mint and issue gold coins honoring Barbara Bush. These coins are to be designed in the same manner as the previously issued First Spouse coins, a program that ended in 2016 with the issuance of a coin honoring Nancy Reagan. The mint will also produce bronze medal duplicates of these designs. The design on the obverse of each coin issued shall contain the name and likeness of a person who was a spouse of a president during the president's period of service, an inscription of the years during which such person was the spouse of a president during the president's period of service, a number indicating the order of the period of service in which such president served, and additional obverse inscriptions to include Liberty, In God We Trust, and the year of minting. The reverse of each coin issued shall bear images that are emblematic of the life and work of the first spouse whose image is borne on the obverse, and additional reverse inscriptions to include United States of America, E Pluribus Unum, $10, 1/2 ounce, and 0.9999 fine gold. The same obverse device will be used for both the gold coins and the bronze medals, without inscriptions, of course, that would be inappropriate for non-legal tender metal. The gold coins are 1.043 inches in diameter, the same size as the presidential dollar coin. The bronze medals are 1 5/16". The Mint worked with the George and Barbara Bush Foundation and the Barbara Bush Foundation for Family Literacy in the development and review of the design portfolios, and the family's design preferences will be indicated. The CFA reviewed the portfolio at their February 20th meeting. So we'll start with the obverse designs. All obverse designs feature portraits of Mrs. Bush. I'd like to note that the Bush family prefers design BB-O-01. This obverse one, is also the CFA's recommendation. So we'll start with the Bush family's preference as well as the CFA's recommendation, obverse one. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, and on to the reverse designs. Prompted by her son's diagnosis of dyslexia, Barbara Bush took an interest in literacy issues and worked with numerous literacy organizations during her public life. As First Lady in 1989, she founded the Barbara Bush Foundation for Family Literacy, providing educational opportunities for young children and their parents. Mrs. Bush believed that family literacy is the key to solving many issues facing our nation: social and economic mobility, quality of life, and global competitiveness. One in four adults in the United States cannot read above a fifth grade level, and research has shown that the single greatest indicator of a child's future success is the literacy level of his or her parents. Low literacy levels are linked to poor health and fewer economic opportunities. By supporting early childhood education while simultaneously educating parents of young children, Mrs. Bush's work helps parents and children have an equal chance to succeed in life. So we'll start going through the reverse options. We'll start with reverse one. This design presents books in staircase formation, representing the steps to learning, freedom, and independence. The first and most critical step to progress is family literacy, as noted in the included inscription. The sunburst is a symbolic representation of the power that learning and education can provide. Reverses two and three depict an open book on a stack of books. The inscriptions of history and science on the spines of the books highlight their importance in the steps to learning, freedom, and independence. The inscription of family literacy is on the spine of a book in reverse two, and marked across the top of the more zoomed in design of reverse three. I'd like to note that reverse 3 is the CFA's recommended design, and pause to ask Megan Sullivan, who is the design manager for this program, to note if there are any comments that the Bush family or the CFA had on this design. I particularly remember you noting, Megan, that the words history and science were looked at. Can you give us context to that?
Sure. The family simply mentioned in their review of the design that they thought it was perhaps confusing that the words history and science were included on the signs of the book. The artist intended that just to discuss, you know, the different things that literacy can bring you to contribute to history and science. But the family thought that might be confusing and confuse the idea of literacy.
Thank you, Megan. And again, reverse 3 is the CFA's recommended design. Moving on, reverse 4 features a contemporary image of an open book in a flame. The open book symbolizes reading and literacy. The flame of knowledge ignited by reading and education lights the way to a bright future. Reverses 5 and 6 show a person reading. The open book symbolizes literacy, education, and knowledge. Reverse 5 depicts the person ascending the stairs, symbolizing the journey to reach higher understanding. Reverse 6, this figure, has an open road and a limitless vista before the person. The road symbolizes the journey of life, while the sun in the distance is the promise of a brighter future. Reverse 6, as seen here, is the Bush family's preferred design. Reverse 7 portrays the moment a child is introduced to the world of books by an adult. Together, they turn the page to their future. The inscription of family literacy is included. Reverse 8 shows a mother, father, and child all reading different items, such as papers and books. The figures are overlapped and stylized in a curved formation. The mother's scarf is wrapping behind the father to enclose the family unit and carry the audience's line of sight back into the composition. Reverse 9 captures a family reading together. The inscription of family literacy is included. Reverse 10 showcases book spines with the inscription of a Barbara Bush quote, "Believe in something larger than yourself." A simple fleur-de-lis ties this reverse to obverse 4. Reverses 11 and 12 feature wooden blocks spelling out the word family. These designs are meant to encompass all members of the family, from children to adults, in the family literacy program. In reverse 11, this is achieved by showing different elements evoking symbols of reading and writing, while reverse 12 shows both an adult and a child's hand placing the blocks in a pyramid. Mr. Chairman, that concludes the candidate design review.
Okay, April, thank you. Before I go on to anything else, did Donna join our phone meeting yet?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. All right. And okay.
Tom, sorry, this is Jennifer.
Questions from the committee about design in general through our discussion. If there aren't, let us begin our consideration. I'd ask once again everyone to please try and keep the comments to focusing on the design and be conscious of our time element as well.
Tom, this is Jennifer. Can you make sure that you pick Dean first because of the time change?
Pardon?
Can you go start with Dean in some comments due to the time change?
Sure, Dean, go ahead.
Can I make a point of clarification first, please?
Sure. Perfect.
Do I understand that the Bush family has a preference for obverse 1 and reverse 6?
That is correct.
Can you please speak up?
Yes. And would anyone care to make a motion?
Can Donald Sam?
I would second.
I support that. Sam, would you also like to make a comment on it since you've been involved in the administration as well as the director?
Sure. It's a real pleasure for me to be able to participate in a conversation about Barbara Bush. I knew the family. I've known all five kids, and the relationship has meant a lot to me through the years. Not nearly as intimate as the director has had, but they touched a lot of hearts through the years. I also want to commend the artist. These depictions of Mrs. Bush are just beautiful, and the number one is just stunning. It captures her perfectly. So I concur with Don, and I think we should accept the family's recommendation and make that our own.
So just for clarification, who made the motion and who seconded it?
I made the motion.
Mike Moran makes the motion.
Dan Gilstead.
Sam Gill seconded. Thank you.
Can we discuss before we vote?
Yes, please. I think we need to discuss. This is James.
We're fine. The motion's on the table. We can have discussion. Go ahead.
This is Dennis Tucker.
Please speak into the phones, everybody, because it's very hard for the transcriber to hear anyone. This is Jennifer.
Thank you, Jennifer. If I'm recognized by the chair.
Yes.
I would like to have discussion about the designs. I appreciate and respect the family's input, but I do believe that we should have some discussion before we make our recommendation to the Secretary of Treasury.
This is Jenny.
This is what we're charged with by Congress. And I think there are several of these designs that deserve public discussion.
Jenny, go ahead.
This is Jenny, and I have to agree with Dennis. The CPAC is charged with being a consultant, and I think when we rush into vote and motions, then I think we're doing a disservice to our committee and also to our stakeholders. So I think we do need to discuss both the verse and reverse for the record. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to be recognized?
Yes, hello, this is Robert Ode.
Yes, Robert, how are
you? Hello, I'm okay. These are nice designs, and I do respect CFA and the family selections, but I think these, for several reasons, may not really be the best possible designs for use on the coin. My own particular preference is for reverse number one. It not only states family literacy, which was Barbara Bush's great goal, but it shows a variety of books, with the brilliant sunlight behind them. And I think this is the design that would show up better on a coin than either reverse three, the CFA preference, or reverse six, the family's preference. The CFA preference does include the history and science to which the family had some reservations. And the design number six utilizes a book of which the text would be so incredibly microscopic that if there was even an attempt to try to depict it, it would seem kind of ridiculous. And the road is just kind of a distraction, and the flag or the.
Okay, we're getting into the sign now. We need to stick to.
I'm just suggesting that we not go ahead and select the reverse design along with the obviously.
Okay, would the maker of the motion, Michael, do you see him want to split their motion up that we look at each, make a motion for each obverse and reverse, and we'll vote accordingly?
I would be willing to do that.
Sam?
Well, this is Sam, sure, that's fine.
Okay, so we have a motion, two motions now on the table. The two motions are to accept the family's recommendation for the obverse, and the second motion is to select the recommendation for the reverse. So you're going to vote on two separate motions as to whether we review obverse and reverse. Would you want to do a roll call? A vote, or would you, or since we're on the phone, roll call might be more appropriate?
Please do, yes.
Okay, so we're going to do a roll call vote for the selection of reverse number offers number one to be the choice for the CCAC. Michael Moran?
Yes.
Robert Hogue?
Yes.
Mary Lanna?
Yes.
Robin Solomon?
Yes.
And Bill?
Yes.
Dennis Tucker?
Yes.
Dr. Brown?
Yes.
Donald Sorensen?
Yes.
Jeannie Stephen Solomon?
Yes.
Okay, the motion, and I'm yes, motion passes unanimously.
Tom, you forgot about me.
What were you? Dean, I'm up on top here. There you are, up here. Okay, Dean.
Even off my sheet. Hopefully you can hear me.
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Okay. Yeah, definitely for number one.
Okay. So the motion passes unanimously regarding the upper selection for the design for the Gold Coin. We're going to now go to the second motion, which is a motion to review or to, I guess this would be to accept design number six of the reverse Barbara Bush $10 gold piece. So we are voting on BBR06. We'll start with you, Dean.
No.
Michael Moran?
Yes.
Robert Hogue?
No.
Mary Lanna?
No.
Robin Solomon?
No.
Sam Bill?
Yes.
Dennis Tucker?
No.
Dr. Brown?
Yes.
Donald Sorensen?
Yes.
Jeannie Stephen Solomon?
No.
And myself, yes. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 no votes. Do you have that as up as well, Frank?
Yes. So therefore, the motion fails.
Motion fails. So we will now turn to review of the reverse designs for the Barbara Bush Gold Coin. And I will call on Dean, Dr. Dean Kolofsky, in the essence of time for you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm getting my second wind, so I may be able to stay with you for the session here. I have to say, I might be a dissenting vote. I wasn't all that impressed with the sunlight in 1, 2, and 3. And between 5 and 6, you know, being consistent with this, I like 5 better. I thought that the really moving image, I assume that the child reading, and I know it's sort of, really read and walk up steps, but then you know the symbolism here of ascending to someplace, opportunity, and I think that was a very powerful image for me. I also like number 7. I thought that was really moving to have the hands here. I know hands can be a little cliche, you know, in this first bounce series. And as I looked over them, the one that really got to me was the Edith Bowling Golf image where you had just hands. You had Woodrow Wilson's hand on a cane, and you had her hand on his or his hand. And I thought that was very moving, and this is a little bit like that. You really see the interaction of the family without seeing the family. And it also brought to mind, I don't have children, but I have 4 nephews, and I would read to them, and that was very moving. And I'm not sure this is going to get much support, but I kind of like number 10. This is a quote from Barbara Bush. I like the books and the way they're assembled. I think you get the idea of literacy. Again, I all of the others, for one form or another, fall down. I'm going to give a little bit more credit than I would have to number 6 because the family liked it. It's similar to number 5. I think if we go for number 2, and I don't know where this is going to go, but when you have family literacy, history, and science on the spines of the book, it looks like family literacy is a subject. And I thought that was not a good message. So those are my comments. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Dean.
Sam.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I have already made my case for number six. I like it. I think it captures what you wanted, and that is to have children read. And I like the fact that it's going off into the sunset and hopefully have a brighter day. So,
yeah,
I think some other ones were good. I just think that this is a particularly good one. It captures what she likes. She likes to read with children. I've seen her do it. So that would be my thought.
Thank you, Sam. Michael?
Thank you, Tom. I was wrong to say two reasons. One, I managed to get the story across the allegory without any story, any instructions whatsoever, other than what was necessary and mandated by law to the universal goal.
Sir, can you please speak up? We're losing you.
You're losing me. All right. How about that?
No.
Still very faint.
Wait, I can hear you loud and clear. It must be coming through on the other side.
Okay. Well, my point is, I like the fact that there are more official descriptions here. It is a simple subject. The allegories get the thought across without a lot of explanation, whereas some of the others require it. It's reasonably original. It is on a par, at least, with all the others, if not better than some of them. And the other reason, because I was at one point in the same position, going to the Theodore Roosevelt family for their suggestions for the Edith Roosevelt coin, you need to respect the family. In this case, it is the direct children, and this is their mother. And as a result of that, I vote for number six, and I will give all my votes to number six and nothing to anything else.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Dennis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My reluctance over numbers five and six are several. The fact that we're not specifically calling out family literacy in these two designs is a weakness, I believe. Barbara Bush's foundation and her focus was not only on literacy. By that I mean she didn't focus on literacy all by itself. Her focus was on family literacy and on the dangers of the generational cycle of illiteracy. When a parent can't read, then it's likely that the children won't read, and that causes a cycle of poverty, of homelessness, and other societal ills. So this isn't just literacy for the sake of reading for pleasure. Barbara Bush connected literacy to a family unit, and she connected it to the greater American society. So I do think that it's important for the design of the coin and medal to embody that concept of family literacy. Neither one of these two designs has that. The person who's walking and reading could be an adult, it could be a young adult, it could be a child. That's not quite clear from the illustrations. Just from an artistic viewpoint, and Jeannie, I'm probably preempting something that you would agree with as an artist, the way the left hand is depicted means that this person's arm is really just physically bent in a way that it would not be if you were holding a book in front.
It's too hard.
And as has been mentioned, you don't read while you're walking, especially when you're walking upstairs. So that was another weakness that I found with those two designs. Dean, I'm going to echo your fondness for Reverse 7. My daughter is 4 years old, and part of our nighttime routine is, as we're getting ready for bedtime, we read at least 5 or 6 books every night. And that, for me, is captured by Reverse 7 very eloquently and very elegantly. We have a child's hand. The child is following along with the story in this book. I'm getting ready to turn a page, probably. And then you have the grown-up's hand taking the page that has just been turned. So we know that this is a family that's together. And both of them are benefiting from that interaction, which was another aspect of Barbara Bush's focus on literacy. She knew that literacy was something that grown-ups could learn as their children are learning. So if a mother or father is at a low literacy level, reading with their children helps them at the same time. So I really think that number 7 captures everything that Barbara Bush focused on when she focused on family literacy in a much stronger way than 5 or 6 do, in a stronger way than number 3 does. Number 3 has the words family literacy, but the design is a bit plebeian. It's not very inspired. My apologies to the artist. I think it's well drafted. It's a nicely drawn concept, but it just doesn't have the emotional appeal that number 7 has. I think that number 8 is very well drawn, and I think that's a nice design. It's too busy for the small canvas that we'll be dealing with the gold coin, but it is a nicely rendered piece of artwork. And that concludes my thoughts. I strongly feel that Reverse 7 is the best in this portfolio. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Dennis, thank you. Donald.
So I'm supportive of 6, because 6 is the one that the family selected, and I think particularly in this case we really need to honor that. I also think that when I look at the other designs, I can't really make a strong enough case that one of the other designs, you know, has sufficient artistic merit to supersede the family's choice. And if I felt that it did, you know, then, you know, as I have in other instances, I would be making that argument. So let's look at some of the designs, because let's look at some of the other designs for just a second. You know, and I think we have to discount, you know, as much as I think that the ones with the blocks are, I actually love them, 11 and 12, I think they're great. You know, it doesn't quite hit the mark with the book. So as much as I love those two designs, for this particular coin and for this particular purpose, I would discount that. For number 9, you know everybody knows what I'm going to say about number 9. The figures, you know, this might be great if it were a dollar, you know, if it were a larger palette. You know, this is just too small for this palette. You know, ditto for number 8. Just too much going on for this palette. Although I think 8 happens to be very creative. You know, if it were a dollar, if it were a bigger palette, maybe I'd be happier about it, but I'm not. I do kind of like, I forgot who it was that said, the one with the stack, is probably has no chance. I kind of like the SPAC. You know, I just don't like it for this coin because it doesn't really achieve the family literacy thing I think that Dennis is really looking for. And I think what Dennis is really attracted to about number seven is, you know, it really kind of spells out family literacy. And, you know, and so rather than leave it to, leave family literacy to the imagination, the way six does, you know, it kind of gives you the book, it gives you the hands, it has the, you know, it has the young hand and the old hand, you know, and it spells out the word family literacy. You know, that's nice, but, you know, six gives you, and, you know, what makes six interesting is it gives you that element of abstraction, you know, and it gives you that winding road towards the future. It gives you those rays, those bright rays of the sun in the horizon, indicating, you know, the future and how family literacy, you know, gives you a bright future, gives you hope. You know, seems to me that's what Barbara Bush and the Bush family was about. You know, and I remember, you know, even though I'm in the opposite party, I remember George Bush, and I remember George Bush the dad, and I remember Barbara Bush, and there was a lot of hope. You know, they were very optimistic people, and there was always hope, and there was always, you know, something about the future, and coins like this talk about the future. So something with that, you know, with that winding road and those rays of sunshine. So you kind of get that in six. You also get it in one, two, and three. You get it in the flame of number four. And you get it in the stairs of number five. You know, so what you don't get in four and five is you don't get the family literacy spelled out. You don't get that in four, five, and six. You do get it spelled out in one, two, three, and you of course get it spelled out in the one that Dennis likes, number seven. So I just like the added symbolism that you get in one, two, three, and six. So for me, if I were to go with one, two, three, and six, you know, probably if I were to pick it, if it were me to pick it, I'd be advocating number one, just because I think the floating books are cool. You know, I might even talk about number three because it's fewer books, and maybe for number one, somebody might say there's too many books. And I might get lost on the small palette, you know, but I'd be splitting hairs to argue for one or three versus six. So I guess, in summary, since I can't really passionately say that either one or three, it is better just because they have family literacy spelled out on them than six, I think six does the trick, and I think there's nothing wrong with six. And if the family, you know, spend time thinking about it, and this is what they want to, you know, to memorialize, you know, this great person, you know, throughout time, I think we give it to them. That's what I think. I'm done.
Thanks. Thank you, Donald. Dr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for the sake of brevity, I'd like to, number one, thank you all the artists because they did a splendid job. I'd like to express my appreciation for my comments and my fellow members of the CCHC. And I'd like to, in fact, say that typically, I'm generally shy shy away from a lot of symbolism, but I must confess that I think option six represents that about the future, represents that we're all towards the future, and because of the fact that it was selected by the family, that would be my selection, and like one of my colleagues, I'm going to give all my votes to that and no votes to the others. Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. Okay, Dr. Brown, thank you. Jeannie?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have to agree with Dennis and with Donald. I was impressed very much with number one because it was a stairway to knowledge and literacy. I think that was an interesting way to acknowledge this task. And I also liked number three mainly because it was an interesting design. I do hesitate with history and science being on the binding. And then when we get to number four, I just don't think that that has any merit in my opinion. Five and six, I feel that I'm not quite sure if this is a juvenile person or a child or holding the book. I don't think it tells you that this is about family literature. Those two, even though six is a family preference, I it's not mine. However, I do go down to Dennis's choice, which is number seven. We definitely know this is an adult and a child, and we're talking about family literacy, and I do like to see that text on there because it explains what this coin is about, and five and six, in my opinion, do not. So I like to have the text as an explanation point. And number 10, which when I first opened this portfolio, was the one that I really gravitated toward. I loved this quote by Barbara Bush very much. However, it doesn't really express the fact that this is about family literature. So I'm going to have to go with 1, 3, or 7 and leave 6 behind. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Jeannie, thank you. Robert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with many of the comments made by my colleagues, and I'll quickly go through my own feelings about each of these designs. Number one, as I specified, actually my preference, although I do like some of the others, paramount too. Number two and number three, I don't particularly care for that image of a book on end. It just looks like something bad is happening to the book, and it tends to be a little worry there. Number four is worse, and that's maybe like a conflagration of books with the fire behind the painting. Number five, at first I didn't realize this was supposed to be stairs. I thought that maybe it's some kind of unusual window blind. But if it is stairs, then this girl reading on them is an accident waiting to happen. Number six, I do like the idea of giving deference to the family's preference, and it's a charming kind of thing, reading for the future. But this could be looked at in a variety of different ways. The way the sun is represented is like the imperial Japanese designs from the period that we know before during World War II. And I personally don't really care for the combination of realism along with just the linear abstract interpretation of the road. And if we're talking about a road in a book, maybe this is an homage to Jack Kerouac. I don't know. Number seven, I like this, as Dennis suggested too. It's really kind of a beautiful concept, the hands of the book. But these are books, these are blank pages. This is the tabula rasa of all of these things. So maybe this is good, but when it says family literacy and there's nothing there that one can read or which is to be read, I just have reservations about that. Having a big blank space in the middle of a coin or metal, I think is probably not a very good idea. Number eight, certainly the most dramatic of these, but again, I agree that this is probably just too busy for a small size piece like this. And it doesn't really say anything particularly that can relate directly to Barbara Bush. You know, we see people here and we see a lot of static energy in the designs and would appear to be books or documents, but I think it just is inappropriate. Number nine, just for me, just doesn't do the trick. The image goes with the inscription, the family literacy, that's fine, but these figures are just too small for a tiny coin of this kind, and the image just really is kind of flat. Number 10, I do like. It kind of crowds the things a little bit, and one aspect that is favorable for me is the fact that it is a true quote from Barbara Bush. Believe in something larger than yourself. It's a beautiful sentiment. And I think this one would work. I thought number one seemed a little bit more powerful and actually referred to the family literacy and giving the primacy to the image of the books through their spines. Number 11 and number 12, this would be okay if it was celebrating kindergarten or something like that. But I think for the family literacy program, looking at blocks doesn't do a whole lot. Overall, these are not unattractive images, but although I do like a number of the concepts here, I think I have to go for number one. Thank you.
Okay, Robert, thank you. Robin.
I was drawn initially to number 10, and I like the stacked books, that design. And I also really like the quote from Barbara Bush. Going back to number 6 and honoring the family's wish, I could accept that image if the quote was the lettering on the pages of the book, so that we actually have the child reading something that is visible. The person holding the coin can read that as well. Several of the other designs are interesting, but I think they don't quite punch what they need to punch. So either number 10 or number 6 with the change that I suggest is what I would go for.
Okay, Barbara, thank you. And Mary?
I am going to echo what Robert said at the very, very beginning of this conversation. For me, the best design is the simplest, which I think is number 1. It says family literacy. The books provide sort of a curved staircase as you're elevating yourself by reading and you're walking up toward the future. I didn't care at all for 4 or 5 or 6. I don't know what that person is supposed to be doing. There's a disembodied arm in both 5 and 6. It doesn't say family literacy anywhere. I like Dennis's suggestion of number 7. I don't necessarily think we have to have image on that page. Maybe some images a little more strongly than that grayscale that we've got. But it's quite obvious that that's the hand of a very small child, a toddler. I think that the design in number 8 is very intriguing, but will completely get lost. 9 was acceptable because it said family literacy. I agree with Robin. I really did like Barbara Bush's quote. But I think to see the most important thing to say is family literacy. So that leads me all the way back to number 1, which I think is a very clever use of the words books, and it gets our mind going as to what the rest of the books could be. So I'm going to throw all of my weight behind number 1. Thank you.
Okay, Mary, thank you. As I was looking through the design as well, I think Dr. Brown and a number of you have echoed this, that the artists have really done some great positive designs here for this particular coin. And I really liked number 10 as it relates to, I think this artist needs to bring this design back. I think somebody said that earlier. It would be a great one. I think that it doesn't hit literacy, though, because it's almost more of it could be construed as a religious affirmation as well. The concept, I think, is really nice. But it drives me back then to number 6 as well, and I think Robin had mentioned about putting some words on, maybe on the left side and the right side, you could put family literacy in the book, and then it would be part of the the design if it's chosen. That would be up to Joe and the team to decide that. I'm going to just say that I'm probably going to go with number six as it relates to the selection. Before I do ask for you guys to do your voting, Megan, when you were pretty much involved in discussion with the family?
I was the liaison with the family.
Okay. This design number six, is it a strong choice, or is there, did they give you any sense of options, or can you tell us why maybe they chose this design?
The comments that I got back from the liaison was that they were happy with the portfolio and that they were really pleased to make their two recommendations, and that's how it was phrased to me. So unfortunately, I don't have any additional information for you, and our liaison's traveling today, so he's unable to be on phone.
Okay, thank you.
Tom, before we leave, can we open the floor to Joe Mena, the chief engraver, for any comments?
Sure.
Hi guys, I wanted to withhold anything until everyone spoke. Of course, I recognize that I'm not a committee member, I'm just a director, but I think that the Bushes are very sophisticated people, so I'm really pleased by the choices. I think the obverse one, which was already a motion, there's no discussion about it, but it's eminently sculptable, the most sculptable in the batch, with all the planes and the structure and the likeness, which it captures very well. I think number six, just speaking art-wise, the arm is fine. The letters are fine. We've done that small lettering on books many, many times before that shows up as scribbles or something, but it's legible as text. You couldn't actually put the full family literacy text on there. Then they would look like giant block numbers. The sun set has been represented like that on coins before, but it's not just a device used from World War II. And if you think about symbolism as art, which it is also, the child is the seed of family literacy, or the foundation of it in many ways. People talk about number seven. There's nothing sculptable on the surface of those pages. They're absolutely blank. You can't sculpt that. You can't add it with a laser texture. So that's really not a viable candidate in terms of, you just have a blank book there. And number 10, those horizontal objects won't read like books on a coin, especially when you have a lot of the devices facing the wrong way. Like the one line is facing up, one's facing down. The other elements are all facing sideways instead of up, and as they would be as if they were vertical on a shelf. And just the way that the spines themselves are depicted isn't really clear enough to be recognized as anything other than maybe stacks of like some type of material rather than books. I'm not saying it's poorly done, I'm just saying that it's not going to read well like books, like you might think, from my point of view. And that's all I have to say. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Joe. Mr. Carroll?
This is Dennis.
Yes, go ahead.
I have a question for Joe. You said that number seven is not sculptable, but you consistently told us in the past that designs proposed in these portfolios are ones that are presented because they are doable by the Mint staff.
But in this case, I'm
nothing
being the art director.
I'm sorry?
I'm looking at it at a scale that I may have not looked at it before. I'm looking at it on a contact sheet. So if any bad information was presented before the committee, I would take exclusive responsibility for that.
So are you saying that there's nothing that can be done with the empty spaces on the pages of that book, the number seven?
The text on it.
The implication of X, like
it would be like the other book, but just a little bit, just twice as big. It still wouldn't be legible.
Right, okay, that's fine. But as long as it can be understood that there's text on it and it's not just a blank page, you would be able to give the viewer enough to see that they would understand that this is a book of some sort that that is being read.
Sure, but I wouldn't want to presume what the artist's artistic intentions would be. I would leave that up to the respect to the individual artist to decide what that would be.
Okay, but because in the blown up 6-inch version that we received in our portfolios, we do see things like a butterfly and a leaf and the letters A, B, C, D, E, F and shapes and other symbols of literacy. Obviously, those would not be visible on a tiny gold coin, but
I think I guess we could scratch this in and it would be, you know, somewhat legible.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that.
Let me super backtrack. I mean, Dennis, if we had to, we always make it work. Let's put it like that. We always find a way to make it work, but I just don't think this is an optimal solution at this point.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Mr. Chair, one other thing I'd like to say. I really must strongly advocate for reverse 7, and I appreciate Joe's further input on the design and sculpting aspect, but from a content perspective, the reason I'm much more strongly focused on reverse 7 than 5 or 6, or the family's preference of 6, is that Barbara Bush's focus was specifically about family literacy, reading aloud to children. She read books aloud on Mrs. Bush's Story Time, her radio program, right? Reading is not a solitary pursuit in this type of focus on family literacy. In number 6, you have a person who is pursuing reading as a solitary pursuit. In number 7, you have the concept of family literacy, a grown-up and a child engaging in the act of reading, probably reading aloud, as Mrs. Bush advocated. I think the symbolism in number 6 is nice, and it does what it does, but it doesn't really speak to what Barbara Bush's focus was when it came to family literacy. That's interaction, reading aloud to children, reading together, and not the solitary pursuit of walking down a road with a book in front of you. I think number 7 elegantly speaks to what she focused on. That's why I think that number 7 and even number 9, you know, the interaction in number 12, these are ones that speak to that concept. It's more than just reading, it's been. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Dennis, thank you for those comments. Very well spoken.
Tom and Dean, can I recognize?
Certainly.
Sure, I recognize. To reiterate what I said before, I just want to, you know, endorse what Dennis said. I mean, anybody who has read to a child and, you know, had that experience, I think number 7 really resonates. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
And if I can just, this is Janie, can I just jump in and comment on the fact that I do appreciate what Dennis said about the family reading together, and this says child and it says adult. And Dennis, thank you very much for your thoughtfulness and articulation about this. Thank you. I like number 7.
Thank you, Janie.
Oh, can I say one last thing, Joe?
Go ahead.
It's just, I want to clarify that I don't mean to imply that I didn't do my best or I had the wrong opinion before. It's just, you know, when you look at things over distance and time, sometimes you get differing opinions than you had previously. So I just want to make that correction.
No problem. Any other discussion? If there isn't, we could take a 5-minute break and allow all of the members to forward their score sheet to Greg Wyman.
Yes, please.
And if you have a problem regarding the way to do it, then we will work with you. But if you have the ability, please go ahead and forward that over. And do you want to, we'll just take maybe five minutes. And
we'll start back up at about 2:05.
Okay.
It's going to take a little while.
If we can start our discussion while you're
calculating, sure. That makes sense.
Sure.
Would everybody please send the ballots?
Okay, we have the
ballots. Okay, we'll go back. Whenever you're ready, Tom, we can go back on the record.
We're fine. Go ahead.
Okay, with the ballots, with the scoring in, you ready on the screen? Or are you going to plug back in? I can say design number one has 11 points. Design number two has 0. Design number three has 2. Design number four has 0. Design number five has 3. Design number six has 16, which is the highest point total. Number seven has 11. Number eight has 1. Number nine has 1. Number 10 has 8. Number 11 has 1. And number 12 has 1. So the recommended design based on your criteria would be reverse number 6.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Are there any motions? Okay, if that, all the discussions concluded, and then we'll now move into some other information and other business that we have in front of the committee at this time. We will open the floor now to the CCAC members for discussion of the general topics that we had have in our packets. And for today's discussion, the CCAC will be discussing the current proposed legislation for commemorative coin programs starting in 2022. For the CCAC operating procedures in section 5135 of Title 31, United States Code, the CCAC is responsible for advising the Secretary of Treasury, quote, with regard to the events, persons, or places that the advisory committee recommends be commemorated by the issuance of a commemorative coin in each of the 5 calendar years succeeding the year in which commemorative coin design is made, end of quote, and the minting level for any commemorative coin recommended. Our legislative director, Jennifer Warren, in Intergovernmental Affairs, who serves at the CCA as a liaison. Jennifer will briefly explain what is currently proposed in Congress, and then we'll move on to discussion. Jennifer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the committee is aware, Congress has passed legislation for the commemorative coin program through 2021. The 2020 upcoming programs are the Basketball Hall of Fame and the Women's Suffrage Centennial Commemorative Coin. Both coins the CCAC has already reviewed. The 2021 programs are the Christian McAuliffe and the National Law Enforcement Commemorative Coin, which the CCAC will be reviewing both design portfolios later this year. Currently, Congress has 6 of pending legislation for a commemorative coin program for 2020. We will start the discussion today of the bills pending for the 2022 and allow the members to have a discussion on these bills to provide any comments or input. Copies of all these bills were provided to the members ahead of today's meeting. Briefly, the 6 bills include H.R. 5873, Harriet Tubman Commemorative Coin Act, that would be to celebrate the 200th anniversary of the birth of Harriet Tubman. The legislation allows for $5 gold coins, $1 silver coins, and $0.50 plaid coins. The design is to be emblematic of the legacy of Harriet Tubman as an abolitionist, and at least one observer's design shall bear the image of Harriet Tubman. H.R. 3483, Integration of Baseball Commemorative Coin Act, that would celebrate the 75th anniversary of the integration of the game. The legislation also allows for a $5 gold coins, $1 silver coins, and $0.50 plaid coins. The legislation mandates the coins are to be square, including denomination with a dollar sign and number, common reverse design of a baseball diamond, and a common obverse, which would be emblematic of the integration of the game of baseball through a design competition. H.R. 4681, the National World War II Memorial Commemorative Coin Act, would commemorate the National World War II Memorial. The legislation allows for a $5 gold coin, $1 silver coins, and $0.50 plaid coins. The design of the coin should be emblematic of the National World War II Memorial and the service and sacrifice of American soldiers and civilians during World War II. Senate 2815, the National Purple Heart Honor Mission Commemorative Coin Act, would celebrate the 15th anniversary of the opening of the National Purple Heart Hall of Fame.
The legislation allows for $5 gold coins, $1 silver coins, and $0.5 plaid coins. The design of the coins should be emblematic of the mission of the National Purple Heart Hall of Honor. H.R. 5537, Conan Commemorative Coin Act, commemorate the operations of Conan, the military working dog of the U.S. Special Operations Forces. The legislation allows for $5 gold coins and $1 silver coins. The design should be emblematic of the life and legacy of Conan. Senate 2042, which recently passed in the Senate with a modification, is the Negro Leagues Baseball Commemorative Coin Act that would recognize the 100th anniversary of the establishment of the Negro National League in 2020. The legislation is amended to be a 2022 commemorative coin program. The legislation allows for $5 gold coins, $1 silver coins, and $0.5 plaque. The design should be emblematic of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in its mission to promote tolerance, diversity, and inclusion. Additionally, in 2022, there are several historical events that are not limited to, but include, of course, the 200th anniversary of the birth of Harriet Tubman, the 240th anniversary of the American bald eagle as our national symbol, 50th anniversary of President Nixon's trip to China, the 75th anniversary of the National Security Act, Charles Schultz Centennial, and the Lincoln Memorial Centennial. With that, I ask Mr. Chairman to open the conversation on the pending legislation and any other potential commemorative events for 2022. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. Would anyone care to start off the discussion?
Tom, this is Mike.
Yep.
We're getting into a run of common odd verses across the three coin sets. And I think we saw particularly most effectively with the boys found coins that if you do that, you're unable to tell a full story. You just cut yourself out on flexibility. We saw the same thing come up with the Naismith Hall of Fame, where they had locked themselves in and regretted it after the fact. I don't know how you stop that, but we certainly should in the future encourage these people not to dictate common odd versus or common reverses across the three coin set.
Yeah, I agree. I think, although the Boys Town told a really nice story, if you recall, that's the one with the had the really nice silver dollar with the young lady under the tree, and then you turned it over and it, the full tree, and then otherwise that one told a nice story. I
we went on a board with that.
Yes,
that's right.
Yeah, and so I think that you know, I'll throw in everyone if you'd like to make a comment on a couple of them. I think the you know, animals sell, and we haven't done much regarding that, and the Kona dog I think would be a interesting story to tell as well. You could not only have the dog, but maybe others, live people, as far as telling that story. And of course, the Charles Schultz, I mean, doesn't get much more American than that. And there could be some interesting thoughts put behind that. So I think if we want, maybe we could send Jennifer some more specific thoughts on some of the legislation as you have it. But Jamie, were you going to say something?
No, I just agree with you, Tom, that we haven't done any animals, and I think that we should look to those issues. And also, you know, we had just done a marvelous baseball coin, and I'm not sure with these two, you know, legislative proposals that we should, you know, consider them. Although I love the fact that we might be doing a square coin. I think that's cool.
That would be neat. Some other thoughts?
Go ahead, Mary.
Okay, thanks, Tom. If we do explore the Charles Schultz coin, I have to sort of advocate for him because he's from St. Paul, Minnesota, and so am I. I think what we're seeing is other countries have done really well copying action figures or cartoons or whatever, and to work with the Schultzes on licensing the image of Snoopy would make that an incredibly popular coin. So I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, I agree. And marketing could do well with that as well.
This is Robert.
I like this idea that we can incorporate animal juice, not only Spooky, maybe Woodstock.
Right, right. There could be a whole, we were saying a whole series, correct? Whole story within the series. I think, yep. Dennis, you were going to say something? Sam, go ahead.
I'm just going to add something about Charles Schulz that not many people know, but he gave a substantial amount of money to the National D-Day Memorial in Bedford, which means a lot to a lot of people in that part of the world. And it's almost anonymous. I know this for sure. I know he came there. Maybe he didn't even come there, but he was so taken with the idea. I think he started the fundraising out with $1 million. So I just wanted to...
That's a great point. And another thing that might not be known, I'm involved with an organization called TDI, which is called Therapy Dog International. And he and his wife were extremely involved in the founding of this in California. And it's now all over the entire country for people to feed therapy dogs. And they have places where these dogs are trained and so forth. So if you want to look up Therapy Dog International, you'll probably see a lot of reference there. Dennis?
Thank you. Would it be appropriate for us to comment on specific wording in these bills? Because I had some observations.
Jennifer, it would probably be better if those go directly to you as it relates, because these are all pending. I mean, it's your call, Jennifer. You can do however you want to handle it.
Well, it's for it to be a recommendation from the CCAC to either to the committees or through your report to Congress. It would have to be on the record here. We can always accept those comments, and if we do get asked to comment on these bills by the minute, we can incorporate those. But I would suggest if there's any strong feelings to do a motion, and we can send a letter to the committees to make them aware of any necessary changes.
Dennis, do you have anything specific that we'd like to at least have on the record?
Well, yes, I will be judicious in my comments then and just try to touch on the more important ones. And others I can communicate to you, Jennifer, and you can maybe vet them for whether they deserve, whether they should be given to Congress. In the Harriet Tubman legislation, page 4, line 15 and 16, the phrasing of the legislation uses the term colored people, and as a publisher of history books or nonfiction books, this is something that this kind of language is something that comes up every once in a while. I don't know if colored people is the best phrasing or terminology to be written into this legislation. It's most likely historical. That was probably how her home for the aged and indigent was termed at the time. But that would be something worth thinking about. Under section 4, the same legislation for the design of the Harriet Tubman coins, it says that the designs of the coins minted under this act shall be emblematic of the legacy of Harriet Tubman as an abolitionist. And I wonder why the wording is so specific there after the rest of the preceding narrative describes her role not only as an abolitionist, but also an advocate of women's rights, an advocate of women's suffrage, an advocate for the elderly. It just seemed unusual for me that the specific wording here says that the coins must be emblematic of her legacy as an abolitionist. Certainly a great legacy, but only part of what has been spelled out in the preceding narrative of the legislation.
This is Jennifer, just so you know, I think that might be because of the recipient organization that receives it, that they focus on that area, but we can always point that out to them. But sometimes they do make it more specific because of sort of the audience they think they're addressing through the recipient organization.
So thank you, Jennifer, for that clarification. So it may have been purposeful, but with three coins to tell her story, it does seem like we have an opportunity to expand the focus and talk about what she's doing with the elderly, with women's rights, suffrage movement, and things other than Appleton. For the integration baseball bill, the under section three coin specifications, this is on page three, lines 15 and 16, it says that the coins shall be of approximately the same size. I thought that was curious wording. I don't recall ever seeing similar wording in numismatic legislation. Is there some reason why that would be in there?
This is Jennifer again. That we're not sure. We have actually brought that issue, especially because of the half clad, to them, because there are some conflicting language. So we have actually, as in the Mint, has already flagged that for the sponsors. So, but thank you. I'm not quite sure. I think it has more to do with them wanting it square and making it I think it's the Auburn's where they want it to be a diamond, a baseball diamond, and they just wanted to keep it consistent.
But maybe they meant the same shape rather than the same size. On page five, under design of coins, page five, line six, refers to us as the Citizens Commemorative Coin Advisory Committee, which I think was the old, or the name of our predecessor committee.
Right.
That should be corrected.
We already noted that too, thank you.
Okay, and I apologize if I'm getting nitpicky here, I will try not to get too granular. But under line 10, under designations and inscriptions, it says that the designation of the value of the coin shall use a dollar sign and the numeral rather than spelling out the denomination. I think that will be problematic for the half dollar, because that would require the coin to have a dollar sign, 0.50, or some similar text, rather than just the word half dollar. So maybe that needs to be modified to include the half dollar, or to exclude the half dollar from that. I don't have anything on the integration of baseball bill. For the National World War II Memorial bill, I struggle a bit with the concept of a commemorative coin program that commemorates not a person or concept or thing, but rather a place or an object. I mean, this legislation is worded to commemorate not World War II, but the memorial to World War II. I think that's an interesting, it's almost a conundrum. But anyway, the design requirements of this bill, I liked the fact that there are no, it doesn't call for any common designs, which gives some more flexibility. For the Purple Heart bill, the wording calls for this to honor or recognize the emblematic of the mission of the National Purple Heart Honor Mission. And according to sections 2A to 2B, the mission is to, part of the mission is to ensure that all recipients are represented. to ensure that all recipients of the Purple Heart from all branches of service and across generations are represented. So I wonder if section four I just wonder if this program is going to be able to make sure that everybody is represented the way the mission of the mission specifies, if that makes sense. For the Conan, the military working dog, there was some language that's a little bit problematic. Under section two findings, it gets very graphic about the death of El Baghdadi. It specifically mentions that he killed himself and his three children. I believe the the number of children that were killed was two, according to the U.S. Central Command. So that should be clarified. That's according to General Kenneth McKenzie, who revised initial statements on October 30. Earlier indications have been that there were three children, but he clarified that there were two. To the best of my knowledge, those children were under the age of 12. I don't understand why that has to be brought up in this legislation. I'll be honest with you, I found that a bit offensive. The wording under number four in the findings about Conan, it uses language like heroic and sacrifice. And in my opinion, I love animals, I'm a dog person. But animals don't have the cognitive agency generally ascribed to concepts like bravery, which we might define as being afraid but still taking action. Right? That could be a definition of courage or bravery. Animals don't have the cognitive agency for deliberate self-sacrifice. So a lot of this wording starts to give human elements or personification to an animal. I just found it a bit strange. Under design and inscriptions, it specifically calls for an image of Conan based on the photograph of Conan released by President Trump on Twitter. I think we should point out that this was actually a doctored photograph of President Trump awarding the Medal of Honor to James McLaughlin, who was an Army medic who saved the lives of 10 people during the Vietnam War. That photograph was doctored so that the dog is over the medic's figure, and the president is putting the medal on the dog rather than on Mr. McLaughlin. So I wonder if our audiences might start to feel that some of this language and this imagery is a bit disrespectful to service members. That's something that concerned me as I was reading the legislation of this particular bill. I do like the idea of honoring dogs that are working members of the military branches and services. I think that's a good goal. I just wonder about this particular bill. For the Texas Rangers,
we're not doing 2023 yet.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, well, I will conclude that. Thank you for your time and for involving me with those comments.
Thank you, Dennis. Any other thoughts or discussion? We can also, since Dennis has brought these up, we can then follow up with any additional comments that you might want to forward to Jennifer regarding any of the specifics discussed.
And if there's anything specific, it has to be a consensus of the CCAC. So just like every discussion, we can forward some of this, but if there's a particular, like if it seemed like people were supportive of maybe Congress considering a Charles Schultz point, if there's a motion to bring that forward, and if there's a consensus by the committee, we can do that.
I think going forward, Mary, would you...
So you would like me to make a motion for the Charles Schulz coin. Was that a single coin, Jennifer? Or was that a series?
It was three.
The Charles Schulz, there is no coin. It was a anniversary that Dean brought up that happens in 2022. So it would be a suggestion to Congress if they would consider it, that is part of your purposes. You can recommend ideas to Congress, and then there might be a member of Congress or the committee that will actually consider that and then draft something and find a recipient organization for it. But this is just one idea that you all could present.
Do I need to make a motion to have that happen?
Well, if it's a consensus of the CCAC, we have to have, yes.
Mary, if you do that, I'll second it.
Okay,
I'd like to make it a three-coin story.
Yes, I will make a motion that we celebrate Charles Schulz with a series of three coins, gold, silver, and plaid, in celebration of all the love and warmth he's brought to America with Snoopy and his pal.
I'll second that. Any discussion? At this time, then we'll just take a vote. All those in favor, signify saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
I'll record a new vote on that.
Okay.
I'll record a new vote, Donald.
Okay. And so this is just a suggestion to everything that we're talking about at this point is totally just from suggestions so that we can also include it in the congressional record and the annual reports at the end of the year. Are there any other motions? We can always bring more up at the next meeting, or we can have a special meeting if we would want to discuss any of these further.
So what, this is Jeannie speaking, so what we are doing now is trying to discern which one of these coins we are actually going to strike, or
This is totally from a suggestion from the committee that we would be in support of a particular
topic. So if I can support the Conan Commemorative Coin Act, I would like to put that up, because I think what that would do is to help people understand how important it is to train these dogs, to have sure. them represent our country, to have them protect our servicemen, and also it would sort of go hand in hand if we go forward with the Charles Schulz piece and work with the therapy dog, we get the public to understand how important dogs are to our community, more than just a pet, which is a good thing, but you know, they are working dogs, and so they should be treated as
such. So Jeannie has a motion to go forward with the Conan bill regarding the service dogs, military dogs, etc.
I would second that, Sam.
Sam Gill seconds. All in favor, signify saying aye.
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 Aye. Any
Chair, I would like to abstain as a point of clarification.
Go ahead, Dr. Brown. Point of clarification, go ahead.
All these programs, is it true that only two will go forward?
Correct, sir. So Congress can only cast two commemorative coins for a release year. So, and once again, this is not used deciding, it is just suggestions of using merit to some of these coins, these that are out there currently in Congress, or proposing should be.
So on that note, I'd like to make a suggestion, Mr. Chair, for consideration. Certainly we've got a baseball coin, but baseball in general is not the same as how parts of our community, parts of our population have been involved in baseball. It's a great American story that I think sometimes needs to be told, because we seem to lose that aspect of the great American pastime. I do understand that it doesn't need to have two programs, but it would seem to me to have these two programs merged into one would provide that opportunity to tell that part about Great American Pastime.
Okay, Dr. Rock. Okay, we'll go with another point of clarification regarding Jennifer. Can we, okay, obviously this is legislation that is pending. Is that?
It is already either, it has been introduced, it may have even been voted on. As I said, the NEGRA, the Baseball Promoting Coin Act, amended, has already passed the Senate and is now pending in the House.
Okay, so let me ask you this. If are we allowed to then suggest more than two of these programs? Is that all right? Because there's numerous ones out there. We could essentially vote for all, that we're in favor of all of them or something to that effect. In other words, are we limited to just...
Right, no, you're not necessarily saying these are the two you should be. You can say that there's merits to, you know, we think there's value to these three or four or five or one. Okay. And it's more of it's more of you giving your input of what you think should be recognized, things that should be out there, and then of course, if there's, as you mentioned, there are some issues with some of these that you would maybe want to. So even if it was saying, you know, we support a baseball coin with these themes, but we don't particularly think both of them should be passed, that's something that could be even mentioned.
Okay, how about Dr. Brown, would it be okay, we'll finish this motion up, and then if you'd like to make one in favor of the baseball one, we'll move on to that one.
I would be happy to do that.
Okay, so would you like to, how would you like to vote on the current one that beyond your point of information here for the Conan?
I must confess, I'm a bit concerned given the fact that as much as we're given our opinion about these various programs, we are faced with the reality that they only two to go forward.
Right. So
they are
pending, so we can't change anything as it relates to that. We can only lend support. So,
sorry, let me clarify. You can make a recommendation. They're pending, you can provide a letter to the committee suggesting that some modification be made or some correction. As like I said, the NEGRA Baseball League commemorative coin, before it was actually voted on, they amended it going into the floor. So there are opportunities if you see there needs to be clarification or changes that can be brought forward, and we can do it sooner than later through a letter to the committees.
Correct, and that's why we're discussing it.
Correct.
So let's finish. All those in favor of the second vote signify saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, and now moving along, Dr. Brown, regarding the baseball point, would you like to make a motion? And then what I would suggest after these are done is we review the legislation. Similar to what Dennis has reviewed already on a couple of them, and make any additional comments back to Jennifer, because we can do that now that we've gone on record with these. So Dr. Brown, would you like to make a motion regarding the baseball point act?
Mr. Chairman, actually, I only use that as an example, because I must confess that I'm kind of torn if I want to tell the story about various aspects of American history. Harriet Tubman just also moved me as well. So it wasn't because I wanted to really focus on the baseball, but rather focus on the part of American history that often is untold.
Okay.
I'm sort of torn between that and Harriet Tubman's story. And I thank Dennis for his comments, because I get that grander, but I think Jason's comments are very well deserved, and if we're going to really tell the story, we must make sure we take care of these granular issues that can be misinterpreted.
Sure, or left out of them. This is something, you know, this helps the Mint reinforce some of the things that need to be done, because sometimes they get a lot of pushback from some people in Congress who might not want to change their bill or adapt the bill so that it's successful. So this is an opportunity for the committee to make those fine, you know, added a little bit bonus to make sure that these programs are successful. So with Dennis's comments, also we'll be able to make any, it'll help provide the any necessary adjustments that need to be done on any of these bills. So thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I don't mean to prolong this conversation, but I'd also like to suggest if either of these programs are go forward, that we try to have the release around the Black History Month and the year that they're going forward.
Okay, usually that would be left up to the stakeholders, or is that true?
It's usually with the recipient organization and the men.
Not done. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jennifer.
We usually try to time it early in the year because it is only allowed to be sold within that given year. So the mint depend on their production schedule, the design schedule, and the interest of the recipient organization. We take all of those into effect. So as you see, the Basketball Hall of Fame is coming out during March Madness. Usually it would be a little bit earlier, but because of that timing, because of the event, so it would be input from the stakeholders when they want to actually release it.
Okay, anything else to come before the committee? We'd like to thank everyone. If there's nothing else to come before the committee, and we can obviously continue further discussion on any of these topics at any of the meetings, or we can have a special meeting if so needed. I'd like to thank Brandon and Maggie and all the those media that were on the phone. And if there's nothing else, we will not adjourn, but we will resume our discussion and reconvene tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Everyone okay with that?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Tom.
Okay. Talk to you all tomorrow.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Off record?
Yep.